Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. For the last 6 days, I have been discussing the many facets of narcissistic personality disorder and how it affects the people who are involved with these abusive people. I'll start today's show by continuing yesterday's show about daughters of narcissistic mothers, and by talking about the process of healing. And then after that, I will open up the rest of the show to your calls, comments, and questions. Being the daughter of a narcissistic mother has been described as the gift that keeps on giving. Our mothers will not stop abusing us, no matter how old we get. If we fail to look deeper, we may still believe that our mothers love us because they sometimes say those words. Yet all the put-downs, angers, and manipulations do not feel like loving. And it's confusing because we still think we love her. After all, isn't that what children are supposed to do? We don't know why we still fear her and why we cower around her when we are fearless and function assertively in so many other areas of our lives. We don't know why we still feel the need to please her and get her approval when we merely get scraps of attention thrown our way, if she chooses to give anything at all. We don't know why we feel guilty exposing the truth about who she really is and what we endured. It's as if we did something wrong to cause it. It's no wonder that we believe it is our job to fix the relationship we have with our mothers. She has brainwashed us for years to put our feelings aside and put her before all else. We think that there must be something we can do to get her to see things from our point of view and treat us better. We think that we are dealing with a mother in every sense of the word, and deep down inside, whether or not she shows it, she is supposed to love us. Isn't that what mothers do? Yes, that's what normal mothers do. But our mothers are not normal. They are mentally ill with an incurable disorder. No matter what we do or how hard we try, we simply cannot fix this. Whatever love seems real or hopeful is or was an illusion. The love never existed, and it never will. Your mother has no capacity for love. She will never change. She will never be the mother you long for. If we could only put aside our deep-seated guilt and allow ourselves to acknowledge the fact that we really don't like our mothers at all, and we are tired of the havoc she wreaks in our lives, it might be easier to cut her out of our lives. but we find it excruciatingly hard to do that because we feel deeply indebted to her for all she has done for us. Though, if we think about it, we realize that she has done next to nothing for us. She has made very little effort, but somehow convinced us that she sacrificed everything for us. Mind-boggling, isn't it? That is very confusing to our rationally thinking minds. To make it even worse, our culture tells us that we are to love and honor our mothers, that we would be evil, selfish, and callous children to abandon our mothers. So, every year, as Mother's Day approaches, we struggle with the chore of picking out a card with words we don't mean, but that will make her feel like queen for a day, because that is what is expected of us. And deep down inside, we long for the day that we won't have to do that anymore. In the fourth episode, I explained that there are only two ways to deal with a narcissistic parent. One is measured contact. The other is total estrangement. Due to limited time, I will not repeat my explanations of each one, but I do suggest you listen to that episode so you understand the dynamics of both before making a decision on how you will proceed with your relationship with your mother or narcissistic parent. You have already made a big leap by figuring out what the problem is. You are on the road to healing, and you are not alone on this journey. Please know that you have many sisters out there, including me, who will support you and validate your feelings and experiences. There is a great freedom that comes with finally making sense of everything. You will probably find yourself digging up everything and anything you can read about narcissistic personality disorder because it feels so good to finally be validated after all these years of confusion. You are a survivor. You are strong, and you have made it. Now you can work on changing your patterns, excuse me, and look forward to having a happy future. I highly recommend that you work with a psychologist who understands this disorder. This problem is deeply rooted and highly complex. Trust me, you cannot fix this on your own. I could not have healed without the help of my therapist. Just know that nothing will change overnight, so be patient with yourself and be patient with the process. You will need help going through all the stages of the grieving process. That can be pretty uncomfortable, so you will need a great deal of support. Congratulations! Today, you have reached the light at the end of the tunnel. Tomorrow is hopeful and promising. Everything is going to be fine. Well, as I promised, I'm going to open up the rest of this show to callers, so I do urge you to call in and tell us your situation, ask your questions, whatever. I do have 25 minutes or so that I can take your calls, so please do call in. I was explaining in the beginning that narcissistic personality is not just a behavior of self-admiration, but it is a full-blown dysfunctional personality disorder. Many people think when you say that someone is suffering from narcissistic personality disorder that they're self-admirers, but that's not exactly what we're talking about here. Narcissistic personality disorder is in the same class of disorders as antisocial personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, and histrionic personality disorder. And what it means to have a personality disorder is that they significantly impair a person's ability to behaviorally respond to life in an acceptable way. And these disorders create difficulty in the person's interactions with others. They have a set of chronic, inflexible personality traits, or a pattern of deviant or abnormal behavior that a person won't change, even when they know that everyone else around them is being adversely affected and they don't like it. This is not a side effect of injury or substance abuse. This is just a personality disorder, and they are not sure what causes it. You know, when you have something like this, what's so deceptive is that you would think that physical abuse would be much worse than emotional abuse, but that's not really true, because though physical abuse is horrific and devastating, it is more intellectually concrete. And when you have inner wounds, they do not heal the same way that outer wounds heal. We are constantly exposed to day-to-day triggers, and we don't even know we have these things. So these wounds are constantly being opened. Yet, we don't feel right, but we don't know what's causing us to feel that way. I'm still opening up the callers, so I really hope you will call in, because that's going to make this show much more interesting. When you are an adult dealing with a narcissistic parent, normal rules do not apply. We try to confront them. We try to reason with them. We try to stand up to them. And maybe we try to get them into counseling with us, but none of these things work. No matter what we do, our feelings will never be validated. This parent will never admit they have done anything wrong to hurt us. And usually, if we have a parent with narcissistic personality disorder, there has to be an enabling partner that helps this to keep going. And when you have that, it is an impossible situation, especially for children, because you have nobody to advocate for you. All you have is abuse, and nothing you say is heard. Nothing you say is listened to. Let's see what else we can talk about today. In another show, I was talking about some of the things that these parents say. Let me see if I can find that. Where was that? Still open to callers. Please call in. Love to hear from you. Love to hear from you. And, you know, if you don't call in today and you want to leave comments on my website, or you want to email me, my website is randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. And my website is afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. I'm still looking for this thing. Well, let's talk about where the word narcissism comes from. You've probably heard about this. We all learned about Greek myths when we were in school. And narcissism is a word that comes from an ancient Greek myth, the myth of Narcissus. Narcissus was a handsome Greek youth who rejected the desperate advances of the nymph Echo. In punishment for his cruelty, he was doomed to fall in love with his own reflection in a pool of water. Unable to consummate his autoerotic love, he pined away and changed into the flower that bears his name to this very day, Narcissus. I'll talk a little bit about my family. My sisters and I are all 50 and above, and we have all suffered tremendously in our lives. We've suffered from depression. We've suffered from lows and highs. We've tried to have relationships with our parents. We've tried to please our mother. We've done everything we possibly could. And I was in therapy one time, And I had been discussing my mother with my therapist, and my therapist said to me, "It sounds like your mother has narcissistic personality disorder." And I had no idea what she was talking about when she said that. But when I came home, I shared it with both of my sisters, and we started researching it. And lo and behold, my mother is textbook. She has every symptom, every trait. She says every word that the typical narcissistic mother says, that the typical narcissist in general says. And everything with her is smoke and mirrors. You can never call her on anything, and it is maddening. I wrote my book finally, and I went through this process of deciding whether or not I was going to expose my childhood, because something about it, I just didn't want to reveal my mother. Like I said before, you know, we're afraid. We feel guilty about bringing all this out in the open and calling it for what it is. But my finally was a memoir, and I went through crazy things in my life. And in order to explain why I made the decisions I made, I really had to address childhood issues. And I was kind. Let's just say I was very kind in the way that I portrayed my mother and father and my household dynamics. When I went to publish this book, I was really afraid of what was going to happen, because my mother, being a narcissist, she cannot see herself. So anyway, I published this book, and I mailed my parents a copy, and I put a note on it saying, "I am finally free." And I waited, and I waited, and I never got a phone call. So let me just remind you, before I finish my story, that I am taking callers today, and I really do hope you call in and share with us or ask your questions. And if you don't want to ask your questions online, please email me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com, or you can send me comments on my website, randygfine.com. So anyway, I waited a few days for my mother to call me and didn't hear from her. And I didn't know what was going on, but I really wanted to just get this over with, get this out in the open. And so finally, I called. And my mother answered the phone, and I said, "Hi, Mom. Did you get my book?" And she said, "Yes, I did." And I said, "So what did you think?" She said, "I can't believe you wrote that about me. I can't believe you told everybody those things. Now everybody's going to know." And that's all she was worried about. Everybody's going to know. And I said, "Mom, your friends," my mother is 85 years old, I said, "Mom, your friends are not going to read this book, so don't worry." "I know, but how could you expose us like that?" And I said, "Mom, this book was not about you. It was about me and my life and my perception of it and what happened to me as a result of it." And I said, "And by the way, throughout the book, I give you credit for all the things that you do and all the things that Dad does." And she says to me, "Well, you give your father credit for many things, but I don't see you giving me credit for anything." And I said, "Well, I did, Mom, wherever it was due." But I realized looking back that she really hadn't done that much, and there wasn't a whole lot to give her credit for. I mean, she was a great cook. She had, every night, she had a 3-course dinner prepared for us, and we were very well fed. Okay, so she cooked for us. We had a maid. And when the maid wasn't there, my father did all the cleaning. So what did she do? When we were injured, it was our father that took care of us. When we were sick, it was our father that got up in the middle of the night with us. What did she do? My sisters and I still wonder what she did, but yet my father tells us all the time, "You have the most wonderful mother." Smoke and mirrors. It's very crazy. Another thing my parents did that really created confusion for my sisters and I was that my parents always said that nobody had a spouse as wonderful as they did. But in my house, all they did was fight with each other. It was crazy. I mean, my mother emasculated my father every chance that she could get. And my father just cowered and then did what she told him to do, which was usually abusing the children. That's what she wanted him to do. Now, he didn't physically abuse us, but he abused us with words, and we were never allowed to redeem ourselves. We could never, nobody would ever believe anything we said, and he would never believe that our mother did anything wrong. So that was totally crazy-making. And my sisters and I, still today, my mother will say, no one has a husband like I do. Well, I'm married, and both of my sisters are married. And all three of us have wonderful husbands. How insulting is that? It really insults us, but it doesn't surprise us because that's who we're dealing with. Now, my sisters and I, it's only been about a month since we have decided to go no contact with our parents. And it's very strange because we really haven't heard from them, with the exception of a couple e-cards for anniversaries, which were very generic, and where my father said, pray for peace for the family. Well, we've been praying for peace for years, and there is no peace to be had in our family because they're the ones that wreak havoc. It's not us. All we're trying to do is make a normal family. And, you know, after my book was published, after finally was published, there was a healing in our family because my mother, having been confronted with it, it must have been such a shock to her system. And gradually, we began being honest with our mother and our father. And, you know, I can't remember exactly how honest we were with our mother, but we were definitely honest with our father. And he said he wanted to know all these things that we held in our hearts and feelings that we held inside before they pass on so we can get this all out in the open. So we did. And for, I don't know, I would have to say maybe a year, things were pretty much okay. My mother was on her best behavior. And my sisters were so grateful because they were finally having a friendship with our mother. For me, I had already done the boundary work, and I had already gotten to the point where I wasn't letting my mother or father in. I was just going through the motions of calling because I was supposed to call, listening, and then not saying anything, and never really telling them what was going on in my life, unless it was something I knew would make them happy or give them something to brag about. So, but anyway, that went on for a while, and all of a sudden, just as my sisters were feeling comfortable and really relaxing around my mother, that's when the zinger came, and she started the verbal abuse again. And it took my sisters by such surprise, because here they had developed this wonderful relationship with our mother, and now she's the enemy again. It's very, very confusing. So we have decided to go no contact with our mother or our father. And it's really the only thing we can do at this point because we have tried for years and years and years to be honest, to try to talk this out, to try to deal with it inside. It's just no use. People with narcissistic personality disorder never get well. And that's because they're narcissists. And narcissists are blinded to the fact that they are anything less than perfect. Just to remind you, we have 5 minutes left, and I am taking your calls. So please call in. I hope you will call in and share with us. Narcissists cannot see what they do wrong. They have developed a false sense, which is a false front that protects their inner self. Their inner self is very fragile. And so they build this false sense around themselves, and nothing penetrates it. So they go to, if even if they go to therapy, even if you get them into therapy, or their life is, maybe they've reached bottom and they get into therapy, they will not be able to see what the therapist is putting before them. She can show them example after example after example of how they are demonstrating this personality disorder, and they will say, "You're wrong. That's not me. I can see that in someone else, but I cannot see it in me." So these people never get better. So it is a mental illness, but we cannot forgive them because they have this mental illness, because they're not insane. They know what they're doing, and it is very calculating. They know what they plan what they're going to say. They watch what we do. They memorize what we do. They keep tabs on what we do so that when we screw up or they really want to let us have it, they've got this whole arsenal of insults to throw at us, and they can be horrendous. I talked about in my last show, narcissistic rage of the narcissistic mother. And it's like if you've ever seen the movie The Exorcist, the child Reagan who is possessed, in the scene where the priest is trying to exorcise the demon out of her, she is spewing insults, and she's talking about the most sensitive things to him, like his mother. She takes on the form of his mother. She will do anything to hurt him. This is below the belt fighting. And this is narcissistic rage. I'm not saying that Reagan had narcissistic rage, but it is nearly identical to what a narcissist in the middle of narcissistic rage looks like. Their insults and the things that they will stoop to make you feel bad are unbelievable. They have kept them inside and held them, and they are ready to let you have it. So you're only one step away from everything going wrong. You're only one word away from everything going wrong. Everything could be going right, and you and your mother could be wonderful, and you could be having this wonderful conversation, or your narcissistic parent can be wonderful, or even if you're in a relationship with somebody who has narcissistic personality disorder, you could be having a lovely time. You could be out to dinner, having a wonderful time, and one word can make it all fall apart, and you become the victim of their abuse. And narcissistic personality disorder is a very insidious form of abuse. So you may not have been hit, you may not have been punched, you may not walk around with bruises, but you have been severely abused. My therapist said that my case was one of the worst cases of abuse she had ever seen. Well, we have 1.5 minutes left and no callers. I'm disappointed, but please, if you have anything you want to tell me after listening to this series of 6 calls, please leave me messages on my website, randygfine.com, or you can email me on afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. 1 minute left for calling in. So anyway, I hope that I've given you a very clear understanding of what this narcissistic personality disorder is. And if you recognize that it is part of what's going on in your life or that it's causing problems for you, I hope that you will start looking into it and that you will find more and more and research it and get to know what's going on and really come to terms with it. And then if you're hurting, please get into therapy. And then you can make decisions. You don't have to make decisions now about whether or not you will keep contact with your parent, because if this is all new to you, you really just need to get a grip on it and understand it and heal from it before you can make a decision about contact or no contact with your parents. So if you haven't listened to the rest of the series, there are 5 more shows. You can just go into my radio show page, and you'll see all of them, and you can listen to them. I cover every topic imaginable. Again, if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, feel free to email me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my shows, so you can leave comments for me there as well. Please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me, my page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share. And if you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will help get this show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. There's a better way.